From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Plus ça change, plus ça la même chose. The more things change, the more they stay the same. They are so afraid of Donald John Trump, they will do anything. There are no limits these people wouldn't cross. They would literally sacrifice a baby on an altar on the National Mall if they thought that that would get that Trump. It's a sad day in America. If anyone had any doubt that the 2020 election was stolen and that a deep state cabal installed a pliable puppet, an octogenarian that can't lift his feet more than an inch off the ground, can't articulate the simplest of sentences. If anyone really thinks that Joe Biden is leading this country, they need to be referred for psychiatric help because they are clearly suffering from delusions. They've had a psychotic break with reality. I would like to congratulate Joe, though. He has graduated from spending his career as the stupidest and one of the most racist members of the United States Senate to being one of the stupidest men ever to serve as vice president and one of the most corrupt. And now, surpassing all of his other accolades, honors, and awards, including the Medal of Freedom bestowed upon him by Barack Obama, and I'm laughing, recalling the meme I posted. It's Joe looking, gazing off into space as Barry Satoru is behind him, putting the medal around his neck. And the meme simply said, "From darkest night," and Obama says, "No, Joe, this doesn't make you Green Lantern." But that's the level of mentality we're dealing with here, right? But today, June 9th, 1923, Joe Biden stepped into the big leagues. He joined his heroes, Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, Mao, Pol Pot, Che, the Duvaliers, Papa and Baby Doc, Castro, and Idi Amin Dada in the Totalitarian Hall of Fame. He has turned America into a banana republic. This is what happens in dictatorships, the weaponization of the apparatus of government against your political opponents. It's what happened to Bolsonaro down in Brazil in the last election down there. The drug lords literally stole that election, just as the union thugs did here in the United States. And make no mistake, it was coordinated. And as I said, if anybody has any doubt that it was stolen, well, I refer you back to today. If it hadn't been stolen, if they thought that Joe Biden actually had gotten 81 million votes, they counted 81 million ballots for him, but he didn't have 81 million votes. And if anybody thinks that that is not true, then explain the New York indictment. Explain the indictment today. We had Trump being candidate Trump being spied on, President-elect Trump being spied on, President Trump being interfered with. So we had election interference that was unsuccessful in 2016. And then throughout his entire presidency, he was facing lies. Russia, Russia, Russiagate. There never should have been a Mueller investigation. Right? The Durham report conclusively proves that. But then the Durham report doesn't hold anyone accountable. No one is ever held accountable. And this isn't anything new. in this anger on the right at a two-tiered system of justice is nothing new. When Bill Clinton, in his low-rent assassin of a wife, allegedly, left the White House, they stole everything that wasn't nailed down and a couple things that were. They took furniture. They took paintings. They took china. They cleaned the residence out. And meanwhile, his staff trashed the West Wing. They glued down all the W keys on every keyboard of every computer. They printed out pornography and loaded all the fax machines and all the printers with reams and reams and reams and reams and reams of paper. Because you think about all the printers and fax machines that would be in the West Wing. They were all loaded with paper, every page of which had pornographic images on them. They defaced the walls. They did over $100,000 worth of damage. And not a single one of them was ever held accountable. And the Clintons were never held accountable. They were just ordered to return some of the things they'd stolen. Things that had been gifted to the United States, we the people, from leaders of foreign nations. They thought it was their personal swag. They must have thought that being president was like going to the Oscars, where you get a new Rolex and keys to a Rolls Royce and all of that in those famous Oscar swag bags. These people are thieves, crooks, and cretins. And they must be stopped. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. Don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Real political talk.
Party politics is killing our government.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Thursday, the Biden administration announced that it plans to hire a new federal coordinator dedicated to protecting LGBTWTF Americans from the quote-unquote growing threat of book banning. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, Timothy. So, it is that time of the month, or it is that month, that time of the year, however you want to look at it. So the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights will recruit an official to provide, quote, new trainings for schools nationwide on how book bans that target specific communities and create a hostile school environment may violate federal civil rights laws, end quote. The White House's Thursday announcement was launched, quote, in celebration of Pride Month, end quote. Didn't see that coming. I thought this was totally unrelated, that this is just something they were planning on doing and no virtue signaling whatsoever. Sorry, I digress.
Wait, you're saying that it's AstroTurf? That wasn't organic? Really?
Maybe.
I'm shocked.
I'll let the listener decide, I suppose. But as the they did this announcement, as the Biden administration is moving to, quote, this is from their words, quote, protect the alphabet people, communities, from attacks on their rights and safety. A White House press release stated, quote, across the country, our nation faces a spike in book bans, efforts that disproportionately strip books about the alphabet people, communities of color, and other communities off of library and classroom shelves, end quote. The Biden administration decried efforts from conservative state governments and concerned parents to keep sexually explicit and age-inappropriate books out of school libraries and classrooms. The Biden-Harris administration, let's see, their statement, what did they say? I don't know what context this is, but this is from the Biden administration. Quote, over a dozen states have enacted anti-alphabet people laws that violate our most basic values and freedoms as Americans and are cruel and callous to our kids, our neighbors, and those in our community. The Biden-Harris administration stands with the alphabet community and has their backs in the face of these attacks, end quote. They got their backs. The new coordinator will, quote, address the growing threats that book bans pose for the civil rights of students and shield alphabet people Americans. The White House said, quote, book banning erodes our democracy, removes vital resources for student learning, and can contribute to the stigma and isolation that alphabet people and other communities face, end quote. Just so we're clear, according to the American Library Association, the top three most challenged books of 2022, all of which contain explicit sexual content, include Gender Queer, a Memoir by Maya Kobabe, All Boys Aren't Blue by George M. Johnson, and The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. In case you need to check those out for yourselves. Of course, this issue of book bans has concerned parents and school officials in recent months, with some more politically conservative states, such as Texas and Florida, taking center stage in the debate. In April of this year, officials in Llano County, Texas, declined to vote on closing libraries after dozens of books containing sexual and racial content that were previously banned were returned to shelves by order of a federal judge. The county commissioners voted unanimously to remove the issue from their agenda, keeping the libraries open with the books on their shelves. Just a month earlier, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis attacked the quote-unquote myths surrounding book bans in his home state, showing a video that included content graphic enough to make those in attendance at his news conference concerned about repeating what they had seen. DeSantis said, quote, a lot of what's been going on is an attempt to create a political narrative, and it's a false political narrative, end quote. So obviously, like all good political narratives, good old Joe needs to step in and assign a anti-LGBT alphabet people book banning thing. I don't understand this whatsoever. All I know is our taxpayer dollars are probably hard at work, Tim. What do you think?
But it's for the children. We can get away with anything if we say it's for the children. It's for the children, Adam.
There's an expression in lacrosse world, Central New York Nice, and what it means is that we're really nice guys. We'll give you the shirt off your back. You want to change your brake pads? We'll be over at your garage with a six-pack of beer on a Saturday morning and help you change your brake pads. But get across from us inside the lines of an athletic field or on a basketball court wearing a different color uniform, and it's Katie bar the door. All bets are off, baby. If we can check you into the middle of next week onto the lacrosse field, that's exactly what's going to happen. Central New York Nice. I'm a nice guy. I'm a really nice guy. I am a really nice guy. I go to my out of my way to help people. I've got a lot of friends that just are amazed at, you know, how I'm not a real jerk, given different things that have happened in my life. But the left is insistent on demonizing me, on doxing me, on making me the enemy. Okay. You want me to be a hardliner? I'll be a hardliner. Welcome inside the lines. What I'm about to say, Adam, I'm absolutely not joking. Every single librarian that ordered any of those books, any publisher that published any of those books, need to be imprisoned as child pornographers. This isn't about book banning. This isn't Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. And for those in other countries that use the far more rational centigrade system, paper's ignition point is 451 degrees. If you put a book into a 450 degree oven, you're fine. But as soon as that oven gets up to 451, the paper spontaneously combusts. That was a book about book banning. What the Nazis did was book banning. What this isn't book banning. This is enforcing child pornography laws. We need to go 100% hard ass on this. We need to get serious with this. This is about protecting our children, their psychological and physical well-being. I'm not kidding. I want these people prosecuted under child pornography laws. And let me tell you something for those that don't know. Child abusers, child sexual abusers, child pornographers, anybody that does anything to harm a child, they don't have a very long life expectancy in prison. And you know what? I don't care. I want them prosecuted.
Strong words, Timothy, and I don't want to muddy, dilute any of that. But there's a second part to this story, so I just want to warn everybody, because I've kind of been anticipating this. I've been saying that I think we're moving towards a similar situation we saw with the BLM movement, except it'll be the TLM movement this time, because in addition to this book banning coordinator thing, they also are going to implement another number of other Alphabet people related initiatives, which are in particular going to be working hand in hand with the community to combat, quote, high rates of violence and hate crimes, end quote. So I think we're coming to a flashpoint with all the boycotts, the culture wars, them trying to shove this down everybody's throats. We saw some confrontations recently with some parents not that long ago. So just everybody keep a cool head. And, I believe in the end, God and righteousness will prevail. God bless you, Timothy.
Absolutely. And let me make clear, mm-hmm. I'm not advocating for vigilante violence. I want the legal system to do its job. And you know who, I'll leave with a little ray of sunshine. You know who the biggest allies in this entire movement are going to be? The LGBs, the lesbians, the homosexuals, the bisexuals. There's a great Twitter account, @GaysAgainstGroomers. This isn't about expressing yourself. This is about grooming children. And good lesbians and homosexuals and bisexuals of integrity want nothing to do with this. And that is our way forward right there. Thanks for another great week of stories. Look forward to seeing what you bring us next week, Adam. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Katie Hopkins is talking about.
The UK's most, I'm reading, senior climate advisor, imagine having that title, has strongly endorsed Labour's vow to halt new oil and gas exploration in the North Sea. So John Gummer, who is Lord Devon, and he chairs the Statutory Committee on Climate Change. God, it just sounds more and more communist the more you read this stuff, doesn't it? He says, I welcome the policy. I'm absolutely in favour of it. And it's the right thing to do. You notice how these people, just because they're called Lord, get to dictate what is the right thing to do? You know, who is the arbiter of right and wrong? It certainly isn't a politician any day of the week, is it? But essentially, he is promoting, pushing, paid, undoubtedly, to shut down oil and gas, so that no one can have a nationalized oil and gas supply, because we know that energy independence is the massive first step towards national independence. And that's, of course, one of the reasons why Trump had to be crucified, because for the first time in generations, America was oil and gas independent, which is why the first thing Biden did was shut down the pipeline and all of the jobs and all of the families that relied on it.
Katie Hopkins on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Not the station for people who label truth as misinformation just because they don't like it.
For facts and truth.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
If it is the second Friday of the month, it's time for our bi-weekly flyover state report with Chuck from Right of Center USA. Go to rightofcenterusa.com to find out how you can participate in bringing up our next generation of Americans with the values of honesty, integrity, and patriotism. Welcome back to The Reckoning, Chuck.
Timbo, it's great to be here this evening. I'm actually live from one of the Right of Center members getting an update. I'm with toolmanix.com, and they actually sell to Whirlpool, Kenworth, a number of other companies, Honda, and they kind of give me an update of what's going on with sales and what's going on in the flyover states. And one of the first things, we had a few bourbons and cigars this evening, but number one on the list is Ohio legislatures want U.S. Space Command HQ in Ohio. This would be a good one for Al Valco to sell to. you know, when he sells his power tools to so.
You know, that's great. And Al's doing superb work out there in the Midwest. One of our, it's coming back. It was referred to as the Rust Belt all through the 70s, 80s, 90s, when the Democrats were trying to offshore everything and our entire manufacturing capacity, first to Japan and now to China. But the Midwest is coming back, and it's coming back in a big way. And there's a lot of great work being done out there. I think having Space Command and HQ is a natural. A lot of people might think down in Alabama, where the John C. Stennis Space Center is, up there in Huntsville, or maybe over in Houston, where the Space Center is in Houston, or maybe down even in Florida, where Cape Canaveral is. I like Ohio. Ohio is the birthplace of the Wright brothers, not the birthplace of flight. That was out on Kitty Hawk on the Outer Banks in North Carolina. But the Wright brothers were from Dayton. We've got Wright-Patterson Air Force Base with the magnificent Museum of the Air Force. And folks, if you've never been to Dayton, to the Museum of the Air Force, and you like aviation, you absolutely have to go. It's literally twice the size and probably five times the spectacularness of the Air and Space Museum on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. I think it would be fantastic to have Space Command in Ohio, and I think Cleveland might be the spot for that, right?
Well, it will, because also NASA Lewis Research Center has been up there on the west side of Cleveland for decades up there. And it would just be, there's a lot of things that happen there, and it's a lot of universities in the state of Ohio, a lot of engineering schools that are still original engineering schools, even with all the wokeness that's going on with K-Swiss Reserve, the Ohio State University. I make sure the Ohio State University in their engineering department. You know, it's all big up there.
Yeah, the Ohio State University in Columbus, because, of course, there are several Ohio State universities. But the big problem there, though, is that most of those engineering students, particularly the doctoral students, are Chinese nationals. They're Red Army officers, and they go back and they take what they learned here and they bring it back to China. So that's an ongoing problem, I know.
Absolutely, Tim. And, you know, I sent you pictures from the parade they had. They had Chinese American friendship for the homecoming parade at the Ohio State University. There's about 20,000 Chinese nationals that go to the Ohio State University. Not, and I know about that, but also the other universities and private universities. So, Tim, if we move on to number two, the Ohio lawmakers moved to ban children and teens from using tanning beds.
I understand the impetus there. We do want to protect our teens from making bad decisions, but I think tanning beds might be a bit too far for regulation. I think it's up to the parents to make their children, to teach their children how to make better decisions. I think there are other things in Ohio that the legislators could do, such as how about we take care of our veterans, right? Let's focus our energies in the legislature on taking care of our veterans, particularly our homeless veterans. I think that'd be a better use. What's going on in the other flyover states?
Let's see. Philadelphia, number three, is Philadelphia wage and business taxes will be cut amid a big cash surplus for the city. Timbo, you know, did they get that from when you and I went down there? You know, I'm a little heavy when we bought the Philly cheesesteak. And I think we got it without the whiz.
Well, no, you get it with the provolone, not the whiz. Whiz is for rookies. Whiz is for tourists. If you get a Philly cheesesteak, you're definitely going to want to get the provolone underneath the steak. That's the way to go. I think this is great. And I think what Philadelphia is going to find is that when they cut wage and business taxes, they're actually going to attract more business to Center City and to the inside the city limits of Philadelphia and the neighborhoods especially. And I think it's going to be a positive feedback loop, right? You cut taxes, you increase business. You increase business, you increase the tax revenue. So this is what John Kennedy understood, that Democrats have lost their way on taxes. When you lower taxes, you actually increase revenue. And when you increase taxes, you lower revenue. Just like that harebrained idea they had 30 years ago. We need to tax the rich. They're going to put in a yacht tax. These rich, they're buying yachts and they're not paying their fair share of tax. So New York State raised the yacht tax. And guess what? All these people went and bought their yachts in Jersey. They put shipyards out of business. It was Jersey that instituted the yacht tax, and they went to another state and bought their boats. Because guess what? Rich people didn't get rich by being stupid. And people think that it's the arrogance of Democrats, Chuck, to think that, oh, well, we could just tax them. They've got nowhere else to go. It's like, well, guess what? That's the beauty of our country. We can move to Florida if we want to. I'd move to Florida if the weather wouldn't kill me, literally. But we could move around. We can move industries. Yeah, we can close up a business and open something else someplace else. And they don't get that.
Yeah, but Tim, didn't John Kerry and his wife get busted for doing that whole yacht tax deal? You know, when
to avoid the Massachusetts yacht tax, they said that the boat was registered in Rhode Island. They registered the boat in Rhode Island. John Kerry's family owns all of the Elizabeth Islands. And folks, if you don't know what the Elizabeth Islands are, it's the chain of islands off of the upper arm of Cape Cod. It separates Narragansett Bay from Martha's Vineyard Sound. They own every single island except for the last one, Cuttyhunk. Right? He's a Forbes, and not a Steve Forbes, not that low rent Malcolm Steve Forbes, nouveau riche Forbes. He's one of the serious money Forbeses, right? These people have more money than you can believe. He's got his boat in Massachusetts, harbors it in Massachusetts, but he registered it in Rhode Island. Great for picking up on that.
Yeah, but
what's next?
Next
is the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Have you heard the news?
The news, the news.
Now, TNT Radio News.
This is the news.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has lost his appeal against extradition to the United States on espionage charges after a high court judge rejected the move. The judge's decision is not yet available, so it's unclear exactly why the 8 grounds of appeal were rejected. 5 members of a gang who shot dead a rival during a ride out on a London street and then celebrated his death at a secret gathering have been jailed by a judge who condemned their callous disregard for life.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Pennsylvania, the state, is looking to impose a $290 surcharge on electric vehicle owners. How about that? It's like, oh, you want to drive a ridiculously expensive vehicle using the most expensive fuel possible and have the least amount of utility of your vehicle? Congratulations, you're doing something for the planet, and we're going to charge you $290 extra for the privilege.
Number 5, Allegheny County Council passes minimum wage hike for county workers to $20 an hour. Nearly $42,000 annual salary. And I have to tell you, my cousin was the executive for that county for years in Allegheny County.
Look, I'm not anti-government. We definitely need government. We need government services. But the Democrats have just made this way too bloated, way too expansive. What they've done, and this is why I'm a Republican, right? My cousins ran the Democrat Party in Syracuse, and I saw what they were up to. Great people. We are patriotic Americans, might disagree with what I have to say, but would defend with my life my right to say it. We went out into the world locked arm in arm as Americans with Democrats like my cousins. But they were using the Democrat Party as a jobs program. You know, we'll get you on a county job. We'll get you on a city job. And then they, you know, these people that really aren't qualified to work, and at least succeed in the private sector, they work for 20 years, and then they get the kiss in the mail for the rest of their life. So they can be 40 years old, and they double dip. They don't retire at 40. They get another job at 40 and work till 60. So now they're collecting 2 public pensions. I think we need pension reform, and we definitely need the reduction in the size of government. And a $42 minimum annual salary for a county worker is just absolutely outrageous. What's next?
Yeah. Well, Timo, the number 6, the debt limit deal in West Virginia put Mountain Valley Pipeline ahead of power line buildouts deemed key for renewables.
This is a great win. They're saying, nope, we're going to do natural gas, not this electricity, not this wind energy. And it's crazy that these people still prefer the anti-economic wind energy, which costs more money than it saves, instead of our clean natural gas, which they're demonizing like crazy. When it was, notice the ratchet effect. First, they were for clean coal, and then they were anti-coal. Then they were for clean natural gas, and then they're anti-natural gas. And now it's all about wind. It's all about solar, because they don't care about the little six-year-old barefoot Rwandan children that are in the mud up to their knees digging out the minerals necessary to make those solar panels. No, 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 no. They're just going to virtue signal and put a big solar panel farm in their town and think that they're just so virtuous.
Jimbo, you had blood diamonds. Now you got blood batteries. And then we go on to number seven, the offshore wind in the Midwest. Some great leaders think so. And this is when in Wisconsin, of all places.
You know, we've got them here. Wisconsin also just had major tourism. Right? They generated all-time high in tourism revenue last year, and this will cut into it. We've got these windmills here in my town and in the town next door. They're an eyesore, but even more than that, they're an environmental hazard. You go under any of those towers, and all you're going to see is bird carcasses, and the coyote population is booming. Because they've got free food. It's a chicken barbecue every night there with the dead birds. And moreover, every single time one of those 60-foot long blades needs to be replaced, they have to bring it through on a special tractor trailer. They have to have our town engineers removing the streetlights, removing the power lines so that it can get through, and then replacing the streetlight cords and the power line cords. It disrupts the entire town. It's extremely expensive. The propellers themselves are environmentally unfriendly. They're made with high organic volatile organic compounds, which pollute the air tremendously. Our health risks for the workers that manufacture them are not recyclable. Oh, but the Germans have come up with the solution. You're never going to believe what they want to. They've created a new compound that you can use to make these windmill blades. You're never going to guess what they can be recycled into, Chuck.
What, Soylent Green?
Gummy bears. I'm not joking. They're going to use a solvent, and they're going to make it gummy bears. You can't make this stuff up. Illinois has been pretty hot lately too, hasn't it?
Yeah, the number nine on the list we have today is the second jobs. First, Chicago City Council members could be banned under proposed ordinance.
I'm actually in
so
favor.
They can't work two jobs.
I'm sorry. I'm actually against this one, and I'll tell you why. Because the rationale is, we need them to be able to focus on their job. We elect them to represent us, and they need to be working at their job full time. It's actually no. Local government should be a part-time position. You should have a career that pays your bills. You shouldn't be living off of your fellow citizens' hard work. You should be out there with them with your sleeves rolled up, working in your own community. You should have some skin in the game. You should be paying taxes on money you earned rather than money you stole from the taxpayers. So I'm a big fan of these second jobs if, and this is a big if we limit the number of times the city council meets. I don't want full-time politicians.
Well, how about this? Hey, Timbo, how about this, you know, Jesse Jackson's son, you know, the second job was when they forced, when Jesse Jackson did the shakedown when I lived in Chicago, they gave them a Budweiser distributor, one of the most lucrative ones in the state of Illinois. That was his second job that they gave him. But, you know, Jesse did the shakedown, you know, with their Rainbow Coalition, gave him that second job. So these second jobs, these people are probably not qualified, and they're actually not called city councilmen up there. They're called aldermen.
They're aldermen
up in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
so,
I could see both sides of it. Yeah, that's a fair point. Maybe we need a commission to vet these second jobs, right? If you want to practice law, or you want to work as a plumber, that's great. But if you want to grift, if you want to green mail, if you're just going to be given a sinecure at an NGO, maybe we don't give them those second jobs. I can see both sides. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Remember when all the environmentalists loved COVID lockdowns because they cleaned the air and shut down cities and stopped airline travel and car travel, and it was a green utopia? Yeah, well, not so much.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
A report in the Hill newspaper calls a climate paradox. New study finds emission cuts will make the Earth much hotter in the short term. Lower emissions during COVID lockdowns caused climate warming effect because short-lived cooling particles in the air were greatly reduced. So did you get that? Cleaner air causes more dangerous global warming. So lockdowns may have accelerated global warmings. Paging all polar bears, run for cover. The Hill newspaper reports, on the one hand, cutting fossil fuel pollution is necessary for avoiding severe global warming, but such cuts will make the Earth much hotter in the short term. Yes, my friend, that is called settled science. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
My therapist had told me that I needed to go to AA meetings, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. That was not what I wanted to grow up and be. I didn't want to go to AA, but I did, and it wasn't what I expected by any means. It was friendly. I could feel it. I mean, I could feel the happiness. It's really great.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
What else is going on in Illinois out there?
You know, the new Chicago mayor searches for a new Chicago police superintendent as violence rises, Timbo.
You know, would you want the job? Because you guarantee, look, there's only one way any cop worth his salt would take that job. Negotiate free rein. You give me free rein, you let me be my own man, institute my own policies, I'll have Chicago the safest big city in America inside a year. But they're never going to do that. They're going to hamstring the next chief of police just the way they have the current one and all the ones previous.
And then also, Timbo, number 11, the old McDonald's headquarters city, the Chicago suburb, Oak Brook Terrace, must remove red light cameras, judge rules.
I love this because I think the more government surveillance that we can eliminate, the better.
You know, also going on in the state of Illinois, where my in-laws are from, Governor Pritzker signed into law a measure that requires lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of executive orders or state's laws to be filed in only two counties, Cook and Sangamon. That is unbelievable, Tim. No, two strongest Democratic counties in the state. You talk about
For those that don't know, Cook County is Chicago and Sangamon is Springfield, the state capital. Chuck, you know what this is directly analogous to? Back in forever, up until the early 90s, the original Boston Garden, which was built above North Station train station, had a parquet floor that was ancient and it had dead spots. And the Celtics knew where all the dead spots were. And they'd also do things like they would turn up the heat in the locker rooms for the other team before the game and at halftime. And they would turn off the hot water for the showers after the game in the visiting locker room. You know, they played those kind of shenanigans. But the biggest issue was the court. And this is why NCAA has identical courts for every NCAA tournament. It's an identical court at each of the venues. So that in its identical baskets and rims, they went out and they bought a whole slew of baskets, rims, floors, the whole shebang. because they wanted it to be an even playing field. Because it was never an even playing field in Boston. And the Celtics knew exactly where the dead spot was. And so if you were with the Knicks and you didn't know where the dead spots were, and all of a sudden there's Bill Bradley coming up the court and bam, he dribbles and the ball just stays on the floor because it hit a dead spot. It's true. You can see the old videos. It's hysterical. But what this legislation is like, what this legislation is like is Boston saying, okay, we'll play road games during the regular season, but for the playoffs, every game is going to be at the Garden. We want home court advantage for every single playoff game. That's exactly what this is. Oh, you can sue the state for the constitutionality of executive orders or state laws, but you got to do it in Chicago or Springfield. Yeah, you'll get an honest trial. We promise. Wink.
So, Timbo, let's go next door since we're such big Catholics and I had to endure a two-hour Latin mass and a walk around Columbus for Corpus Christi. The Catholic schools at Indianapolis fires gay counselor.
Well, they shouldn't have hired him in the first place. Look, we need to have a religious exemption for these hires. As my father always said, the Catholic Church is not a democracy. It's also not mandatory. You don't like the rules? Leave. Right? The church should not be forced to hire people whose lives directly refute the values of the church, especially in a guidance counselor role in a school. Again, as I said in the news article at the top of the show with Adam, let's start enforcing the child pornography, this child sexual abuse laws, because that's what this is all about. This isn't about equal rights. It's not about employment rights. It's about pederasty. It's about pedophilia. It's about bad, bad stuff. We've got to protect our children. And as for your 2.5 mile march with the procession of the Blessed Sacrament after Mass, which I thought was beautiful that they were still doing, I was happy that you were on it with your grandson and great bonding with you. It's also the most exercise you've gotten all year long. The real hero to me was your son, remember the old mobile uplink, the satellite dish helmet that Al Franken had back when Dennis Miller was doing the weekend update, and Al Franken would do the remote lives, and he had this football helmet with a satellite dish on top so we could uplink to the studio. That's what your son was doing yesterday. I saw that harness he had. He had this harness on, folks, with 10-foot poles and two big speakers on top of the poles, and the poor guy had to carry it like 2.5 miles.
But they drafted him because he was former military. Him and another guy were former military, so they did a ruck. But listen to this, Timbo. I had a ruck myself. I had a 3-year-old on my shoulder the entire time, you know, walking through there. You know, no brakes whatsoever, 2.5 miles, you know, brick roads, you know, asphalt. It was enduring. It was unbelievable. It was just, it was very, very rough on the old man. But, you know.
And you know what a 3-year-old is? You know how firemen talk about dead weight, right? They got to be able to carry 100 pounds dead weight down the ladder. Because dead weight, folks, if like a dead body or somebody that's unconscious and they just lay there, dead weight's a lot more heavy than live weight, because the live weight can hold on to you, right? But 3-year-olds on the shoulders, I refer to that as squirmy weight. And squirmy weight is heavier than regular weight, isn't it?
Timbo, but I'm going to tell you this. When you come into the Ohio State University for a football game, I will loan my grandson out to you when we go to the varsity club, and you will carry him on his shoulders. He knows how to high-five all the hot women. And you could say you're Uncle Timbo.
You got to train him up young. You're doing right by him. So what else is going on out there in the Midwest?
Let's see. In Indiana, Governor Holcomb signs book banning measure.
Again, folks, this isn't about book banning. This is about protecting our children. Institute, you know, just enforce the child pornography laws. We're not talking about Huckleberry Finn. Although, ironically, Chuck, the left wants to ban Huckleberry Finn because it uses the N-word. Yeah, Huckleberry Finn is the most anti-racist book ever. The entire point of the book is to argue against racism. But nope, The Party of Slavery, Jim Crow, and the KKK want that one banned, but they want all the child sex books in the children's section of the library.
Timbo, if they do that, it's going to ruin generations of future Chucks where we actually have the, how's it work with me with being Huck Finn?
No. You're Tom Sawyer.
You're Tom Sawyer.
You're Tom Sawyer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're better than Tom Sawyer, right? Tom Sawyer talked his best friend, Ben, into whitewashing the fence for him. Aunt Polly wanted Tom to whitewash the fence, and Tom talked Ben into it. Hey, it'd be a big privilege. I don't think you're up for it, Ben. Oh, no, I could do it, Tom. And he ends up having Ben whitewash the fence. Well, you go Tom Sawyer one better. You actually charge your friends for the privilege of whitewashing your fence. And for people that don't know what that means, tell them a little bit about Right of Center USA.
You know, with the Right of Center USA, we promote current and former military and conservative businessmen and women to run for office. No career politicians whatsoever. You know, we actually help them. And we also help the future leaders with our ROTC interns. You know, and if you ask the professor of military science at The Ohio State University, our interns will tell you, you know, that they have a great experience. But the professor said years ago, they have better social and networking skills working with us, and they're not woke. But you'd be surprised, Timbo, if you go down to Ohio State University and you ask the school, any of the students down there, who are you going to vote for the election? Half of them said Obama back in the day. And that it's crazy. You know, absolutely crazy. But Timbo, the last thing we got to cover is number 15. I can't believe we got through this so quickly. Ohio labor unions fight back against higher education bill banning strikes.
Well, of course. And look, this is a thorny issue because the First Amendment gives us the right to freely associate with each other. We actually have a constitutional right to form associations. In fact, the founders thought that associations would be the glue that bound the country together, right? The Holy Name Society, with the women putting the flowers on the altars, and the men's poker night, and the bowling leagues, and everything else. There was a great book about 20 years ago warning about how America's social fabric was fraying. And I'd argue that with COVID and everybody siloing, it's been completely rent. That the downfall of bowling leagues was a harbinger. It was the canary in the coal mine, indicating societal upheaval, that people weren't associating. We didn't have bridge clubs, ladies' bridge clubs. We didn't have garden clubs as much. I was a member of Toastmasters International, and that was the kind of organization that would bring people together. And the founders thought that that was a good thing, so they put a constitutional right to it in the First Amendment. But I actually don't have a problem with labor unions organizing. I think that workers need to be treated fairly. Businesses can certainly take advantage of the workers if there's no pushback. My father received his bachelor's degree in industrial relations, and I was never too keen on unions growing up, because every time there was a strike of the Communication Workers of America, it meant I wouldn't see my dad because he was working 18 hours a day, literally climbing poles and doing all the repair work, because he was in management and the managers took over the line workers' jobs during the strikes. And he said, no, unions are a good thing and these strikes are a good thing. I know you might not see it now, but it's important for workers to be able to get treated fairly. I think there's a big exception, however, for public employee unions, right? Because you're already in the civil service system, which is better than any public job, pretty much, except for working at a hedge fund. You get the kid, as I said earlier, you get the kiss in the mail after 20 years. You can double dip and get another job and get a second kiss in the mail and retire at 60. You still retire early, but now you're collecting two pensions. I think there needs to be some sort of exception limiting the ability of public employees to collectively bargain. What do you think?
Timo, you're absolutely correct. It really is something, because, you know, I live behind enemy lines in Columbus, Ohio. Chrissy and I just moved back into the city of Columbus. You wouldn't believe how many teachers, the Ohio State University professors, are making money off of the PERS and the STRS. And it is unbelievable how much money they have. I mean, we have one that's associated with them putting on a $1.1 million home addition onto their house that they paid $800,000 for. My father, who was part of STRS, then became, CREF is the pension fund?
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when he was a scientific case? Yes. You know, which was a good thing. And Ryder Center just recently got sucked in, you know, because, you know, you talk about Republicans, school teachers not getting their COLA for the past 10 years. And they got great management. But then you got people who are getting, who have nothing, have no knowledge whatsoever about money management or anything. And DeWine put somebody in place that has no knowledge whatsoever, $500,000 pension and $500,000 bonus. And the teachers get screwed out of their COLA. It's not right.
You know, see,
I'm not trying to sound like a liberal.
No, that's not right. But I think that's the legislature's job, right? You need to insist that the money manager for the state educational pension system is actually a money manager. You can't let the governor, governor put one of his cronies in. And again, this is Republicans doing it. I keep saying this on this show. This is no longer left versus right. This is no longer Republican versus Democrat. This is up versus down. This is crony capitalism versus we the people. I want to get back to explaining the Tom Sawyer comment, because with deploymentcigars.com, you're actually charging your friends to come work at the Bourbon Festival, aren't you?
Yes, which is coming up in September, you know, September 15th through 17th. We are the official cigar company of the largest bourbon festival in North America with Angel's Envy. And we got a great deal where you sign online, go to deploymentcigars.com, the Kentucky Bourbon Festival pack. But I think, Tim, we're going to add an extra cigar to that. The Rosie cigar should be part of that fifth cigar, not just the
fourth. It really should.
And you know,
and for folks that don't know Rosie, go to therosiecigar.com.
Which is all part of our site. It's going to be a great festival, and we're going to be helping out military vets, and most importantly, cigar therapy with the chaplains.
Yeah, we got the great dinner coming up, Smoke on the Hudson, next month, that's going to benefit cigar therapy. We also had Shannon Miesenberg of Operation Solid 7 on the other night, and we're very proud to be partnered with them. They're going to be out there at the Angel's Envy deploymentcigar.com bourbon and cigar tent at the Bourbon Festival in Bardstown, Kentucky, in the middle of September, September 13th, 14th, 15th. And I'm joking, of course, about charging your friends to do your work for you, but we're going to have a lot of our black budget operators there. And these are former military guys that it's quite a privilege to be selected for it. And they give us very generous donations, and we're going to have them out there and work in the booth, and you can be able to spend some time with them. And so we joke that Chuck actually gets his friends to come whitewash his fence for him.
Oh, Colonel Mike Ford and R. Cole, the Distinguished Flying Cross Award winner, will be there. And also, you're going to be doing your show live there that evening
Festival. I will be that Thursday and Friday. I will be broadcasting live from the Bourbon Festival. And as I said, we're going to have Shannon and Mitch Miesenberg from Operation Solid 7 there as well. We're very proud to have partnered with them. Chuck, thanks for another great flyover state report. We look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Timbo. Thank you, listeners. We appreciate them.
Folks, that's it for this week. I just want to leave you with this. If you think we're not living in a clown world, you've got another think coming. This is what Special Counsel Jack Smith, that man of probity and integrity, said after the indictment was released. We have one set of laws in this country. Oh, really? Wake me when Hunter Biden gets indicted. Wake me when Joe Biden gets indicted. Wake me when his brother James gets indicted. Wake me when Hillary gets indicted. One set of laws in this country. Who do you think you're fooling, you jamoke? Till next week. That's it for The Reckoning. I'm Timothy Shea. Stay tuned on TNT Radio for the Hervorier Moritz Show. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.